Is from the Old Testament and from the book of Proverbs. We're going to read part of Proverbs chapter 1. And the book of Proverbs comes immediately after the book of Seer, God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, that men may know wisdom and instruction, and understand words of insight. Receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness and justice and equity, that prudence may be given to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. The wise man also may hear and increase in learning, and the man of understanding acquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then in chapter 9 and beginning at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house, she has set up her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. In other words, wisdom is throwing a party. She has sent out her maids to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who is without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave simpleness and live and walk in the way of insight. He who corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Proverbs. How many proverbs can you recall and repeat? Just at the drop of the hat. And by proverbs, I mean well-known, familiar, proverbial sayings. How many can you remember? Pride goes before a fall. Look before you leap. He who laughs last, laughs loudest. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, whatever that means. Many hands make light work, but cooks, too many of them, spoil the broth. Lang may your lum reek. Does that qualify? I think it probably does. There are many, many proverbs. There's an endless list of them. In fact, I've got a book here, which is called The Dictionary of Proverbs. Proverbs culled from all kinds of sources. And on almost any subject that you could name, there are 188 subjects and about 20 proverbs on each. So that's a lot of sayings. Proverbs. What's a proverb? Well, I suppose we could say a proverb is a pithy saying containing words of wisdom. And this book represents quite a fountain of basic, down-to-earth, practical wisdom in living. And there's a lot of wisdom around. There's a lot of wise people in the world who say wise things, and they're not just believers. Believers don't have a monopoly on wisdom. Far from it. There's always been wisdom around in the world. There was in the time of ancient Israel, as the Bible makes clear. The Old Testament tells us again and again of the wisdom and the wise people who lived amongst Israel's neighbors, particularly in Egypt and Babylon and Phoenicia. In the time of Solomon, there was a great quest for wisdom and understanding and insight and knowledge. Solomon, of course, is the writer of many of the Proverbs in this book that we call the Book of Proverbs. So what was different or distinctive about Solomon's Proverbs and the Bible's wisdom. I want to look over the next few weeks at some of the teaching of this book of Proverbs, and this morning I want to highlight the difference between biblical wisdom and worldly wisdom by underlining for you Proverbs' motto. And the motto is well known to many of us here. It's this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now you find that motto in chapter 1 and verse 7, chapter 9 and verse 10, chapter 15 and verse 33. You find it repeated in other parts of the Bible, the wisdom literature, for example, Psalm 111 verse 10 and Job 28 verse 21. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What then is distinctive about this wisdom of Proverbs and the wisdom of the Bible? Let me try and simplify the answer to that by pointing out three characteristics and expressing them, I hope, in a way that you'll be able to remember. What is this wisdom? First of all, it's a wisdom that is offered at an open university. And by that I mean it's a wisdom that is open to all and sundry. The Open University, the brainchild of the conservative government, began enrolling students in 1970, and over the last 25 years, thousands and thousands of people have had access to subjects and studies they never thought possible. Over that time, many, many people have benefited from this institution. But today there are still qualifications required, there are still stipulations, there are still limitations. It's an open university, but it's not open to absolutely everyone. But by contrast, God's university, if I can put it like that, specializing in the subject of wisdom, is really and truly open to everyone. In fact, it's open to people who seem least qualified to enroll. The Bible tells us that everyone can matriculate, everyone can register, everyone can enter this university and study for this wisdom which is on offer. Even those whose records seem to bar them from studying the subject. Why, even the foolish and the simple are invited to come and to study wisdom at this university. Look at what it says in chapter 9 and verse 1 and verse 4. Wisdom has built her house, she has set up her seven pillars. Verse 4, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Or in your version it may be, let all who are simple come in here. You're all welcome. Come in. Now the word simple is not intended to be offensive to anyone. It's not a reference to those, as the saying goes, who are a sandwich short of a picnic, or as the Australians say, have a kangaroo loose in the top paddock. The word simple is not meant to be offensive at all. It's a reference to those who lack judgment or lack wisdom. And the invitation is to come in, everyone, if you want to, and study the subject. It's open to everyone. It's open to all to enroll. And the church, I suppose, as the locus of this wisdom, should be open to everybody and open at all times. I read recently about a church in Cheshire which had a notice board. And on this notice board there were three lines written. The first two lines were written in large capital letters and the third line in small letters. Line one, this is the house of God. The second line, this is the gate of heaven. The third line, this door is locked during winter months. And I suppose that often is the case and has to be But let me say that that for which the church represents and stands, namely the wisdom of God and the truth of God, is never locked and barred to anybody. It's open and accessible to all and sundry. And I think that's encouraging for those of us who feel that we don't have the mental capacity, who don't feel that we've got the educational requirements or the particular cleverness required to understand all the details of the Bible. I think it's very encouraging to realize that this wisdom that the Bible offers is open to us. Because in the end of the day, it's not mental capacity or educational facilities or cleverness that counts. Bible wisdom is available to everyone, and the New Testament says this as well, doesn't it? If any man lack wisdom, James chapter 1, and how I love this text, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all. This wisdom is for those who want it. But of course, you've got to want it. And you've got to go looking for it and searching for it. And we find this very clearly laid out in the book of Proverbs, for example. If you turn to chapter 2 and verses 2 and following, you find this laid out very clearly. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Yes, the Lord gives wisdom, but he gives it to those who seek it, to those who look for it diligently. Turning to the other open for a moment, not the university, but the golf at St. Andrews, one of the things that I found quite amazing was how few golf balls were lost during the days of the championship. All these players, all the gorse bushes, all the high winds, and yet hardly a golf ball. Now, I saw plenty of people put them into gorse bushes, but hardly a golf ball lost. I think there was only one. What was the answer? Well, the answer was the search. Lots of people went into the gorse bushes and they looked and searched diligently, urgently, feverishly, and they found it inevitably. That for me was a parable or a proverb. Seek and ye shall find. Listen, this wisdom that the Bible is talking about, this wisdom in the book of Proverbs is open to everyone, but it's hard won. It's won by those who are prepared. Chapter 9, verse 6. To leave simple ways. Those who are prepared to sacrifice the easy, lazy, comfortable ways and habits and go looking for God's wisdom. So here's the first characteristic. It's a wisdom that's offered at an open university. And the second characteristic, it's a wisdom guaranteed to make its graduates street wise. Street wise in the sense of living life as it's encountered in all its avenues. This is not a wisdom for the cloisters, but for the marketplace. It's not for the ivory towers, but for the main streets of life. Chapter 1 and verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market she raises her voice, on the top of the wall she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. This is a wisdom for Main Street Christen. It's a wisdom that is intended to make us street wise. The wisdom of Proverbs is not essentially an activity of the mind, but an application of the will. Why, the very words that are used for wisdom in this book of Proverbs underlines this. In the book of Proverbs there are five words that are used for wisdom, and each one of these five words occurred in the first five verses that we read together in chapter 1. And each of these words in the original Hebrew underlines that the wisdom is not a wisdom of the head. It's a wisdom of the heart and the will. And in the end of the day, that's the only wisdom that really counts, isn't it? Because so much of life consists of making the right choices. And it's very possible in life to make the wrong choices, because there are so many options open to us and so many voices calling to us and beckoning to us to go this way and that way. Look at chapter 9 and verse 13. The woman's folly is loud. Verse 15, calling to those who pass by. Verse 16, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Now, what is striking about this verse? Well, what is striking about this verse 16 is that exactly the same wording as verse 4. Did you notice that? The invitation of wisdom is exactly the same invitation as folly gives. The invitation that folly gives is exactly the same invitation that wisdom gives. Precisely the same wording. At first glance, the options seem the same. Now, do you see how important it is to discern between these two offers and choose the right way? Because you could choose the wrong way, couldn't you? What is on offer? Well, wisdom offers life, verse 6. And folly offers water, verse 17. Stolen water is sweet, says folly. That's what folly says. Everybody's doing it. No one will know. If you want to get on in business, you've got to do it. You've got to turn a blind eye sometimes, you know. That's folly's voice. Actually, it's the same voice that was heard in the Garden of Eden. It's actually Satan's voice and folly's choice. And its end, verse 18, is death. So you see the importance of making right choices. And the book of Proverbs deals with a wisdom which helps us to make choices in many areas. The choice of a boyfriend or a girlfriend. The choice of a marriage or life partner. The choice of the use of money. The right choice about hobbies and recreations and careers. The right choice about places of entertainment and what we do in these places of entertainment. That report that was issued just a week ago about teenagers and drugs and became the basis of the program Panorama last Monday. The report that says by the year 2000, those teenagers in our society who don't take drugs regularly will be in a tiny, tiny minority. In fact, they may be dubbed deviants. Are our young people going to have the wisdom to make the right choice in this connection? How are they going to have the wisdom to be willing to be a tiny minority and categorized as deviants? It's terribly important that we make the right choices in life. And the wisdom of Proverbs and the wisdom of the Bible tells us that life is made up with right choices and also, of course, right relationships. And some of us at times are not very good at relationships, are we? We keep putting our foot in it, or going in with both feet. Or we rub others up the wrong way, or we're insensitive. We might perhaps say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. We're unhelpful. It's not that what we say is untrue necessarily. For the most part it may not be, but it's unwise and inappropriate. This wisdom that the book of Proverbs deals with is a very practical wisdom. It's a wisdom that helps us in life's choices and with life's relationships. You see, the book of Proverbs asks the question, what is a person like to live with or to employ? The book of Proverbs asks the question, what is a person like in managing his business or his time or himself? That good lady, for instance, does she talk too much? That cheerful soul, for example, can you bear with them first thing in the morning? That friend who's always dropping in, there's a word of advice for her. That aimless lad who's easily led, there's a word of counsel for him. The book of Proverbs deals with right choices and right relationships. There's a child's prayer which says this, Lord, make the bad people good and the good people nice. And that prayer points to the fact that there are small details of character which escape the mesh of the law of right and wrong, yet are vital enough in personal dealings with others. And this is the sphere of the book of Proverbs. So the question is this morning, do we want to be better people? Do we want to be wiser people? This wisdom is guaranteed to make its graduates streetwise. That's the second characteristic. And that leads on to the third one. And it takes us back to our motto. Thirdly, it's a wisdom with RE as its core curriculum. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not in the sense of having got it, we leave it behind like having passed our O levels and move on to something else. There are Christians, I believe, who become Christians by submitting to the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ as a foundation for living and then go on with their life by living by their wits or according to worldly wisdom. No, you can't do that really if you're to have the Bible's wisdom. RE is always a core curriculum. Religious education is at the center. I heard of a student who was going up to university and who listed on a piece of paper all the interests that he was going to be involved in. And he did it in the form of a circle. He put his name in the center and round about it he wrote his subjects and his clubs that he was going to join, his hobbies, his sports, his social life. And he put down Christianity, the Christian Union, as one of a number of interests. Now, what's wrong with that picture, according to the book of Proverbs? What's wrong is this, that religious education or Christianity can never be at the circumference of life. It's got to be at the center. You see, life is like a wheel, and God has got to be at the center, and the knowledge of God, and the spokes run from God's truth to absolutely everything in life. Everything. The spiritual dimension has to come into everything and affect everything in life. And the person who recognizes that is the person who fears God, and that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. The awesomeness of the Lord. Awesome is becoming an overworked word now, isn't it? In our society, John Daly said that winning the Open was something awesome. No, that's not right. Only God has awesomeness. The fact that he is involved in everything is truly awesome. The fact that he has a word for everything is wonderfully awesome. The fact that he is relevant to everything is marvelously, wonderfully awesome. And it gives us reverence and love and confidence. When the Civil War General William Sherman's wife died, he wrote to a friend and said, "I am sure that you know that the God who created the minnow, who has molded the rose and the carnation, giving each its sweet fragrance, will provide for those mortal men who strive to do right. At all events, I will trust him with absolute confidence. Who to heaven find the way, do the Lord's commands obey." Here then is the great controlling principle of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's go for it. And God grant us this wisdom. Let us pray. We come as those, O God, who confess our darkness at times and our need of light, the need of a signpost. And we pray that this message and this part of your scriptures may help us. We pray above all that you'll give to us the motivation to want to be wise as you count those who are wise. And sometimes that means becoming foolish first in our own eyes and submitting to what you've said. Help us in this, we pray, and may the word this morning not return to you empty, but accomplish something in our lives this day, this week. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.